How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Breaking Point podcast. This is not the podcast. The podcast is already done, but it was such a mess in the beginning that I had to cut it all. So I'm doing the introduction now. And yeah, hope you enjoy it. And it's a bit of a chaotic one, but it was actually turned out to be a pretty important one, I think. And I think it was beneficial for me. And I think it was really beneficial for the guest as well to talk about some of the things that maybe he hasn't been able to talk about. Anyway, enjoy the video and I'll see you on the next one.
My most recent exercise, not let's say obsession, but I guess like passion, is mainly from like heartbreak, I guess. I have to be honest, because the motivation you get from heartbreak is the most powerful weapon you can have to like progress your life. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant originally, well, for the first couple of seconds, I thought you meant heartbreak as in it was some sort of program or something, but you mean like heartbreak.
Yeah, I mean like big heartbreak that can make you feel invincible and do anything you want to do.
Yes, I think heartbreak is, because I'm really interested in psychology and mental health. That's kind of like what the blog's about, the podcast is about, really. So if you're comfortable, we can sort of talk a bit about that, but no pressure. I know, it's just you don't even know me and I'm just some random guy asking you these weird questions. You're probably thinking, what the fuck is going on? I know, right? It's completely fair enough. I did not prepare for this at all, but we'll go with it. That's fine. I found breaking up with someone really hard as well. I don't know if you've ever done that.
No. It's a tough decision. Luckily for me, it wasn't my decision, so I kind of get a free ticket out. It's not my like responsibility, I guess. So yes. If something goes wrong, it's like that was their decision and their choice. So it's good for me.
Because when something like a life changed thing like that happens, you're sort of plunged into this chasm, aren't you? And you have to, and everything around you things feel different, and you question everything. And then the whole point, the sort of mythological point, is that you pull yourself out and then you come back a stronger person. You've sort of fortify yourself underneath, but it's obviously very hard. So that's really interesting that you say heartbreak was a big motivator, and that's really good that you had the mental strength to go and decide that was how you were going to respond to it. And
I didn't want to, trust me. I forced myself to. I could have easily stayed in and cried in bed 7 days a week. I chose not to. I said, when you're healing your heart, don't let your physical body deteriorate. That's like the biggest like help that I've ever heard. So because once that heals, when that's healed, it's like you're left with your physical body. Like, how do you want to feel? Do you want to feel healthy? Do you want to feel unfit? Like, you're going to thank yourself for it.
Yeah. Where did you learn that? Who told you that?
I listened to a lot of neuroscience podcasts.
You listened to Huberman.
I was just about to say his name, yeah. He said this really cool thing about, like, how thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body.
Yeah.
And how to change, like, your personal reality, it's kind of just installing new thoughts and patterns into your thinking, new things to create a new personal reality. Because when you're living with someone, you've loved someone for so long, your identity has become that person for so long, that it's like this big shock when you're not with that person, because you're just so used to that lifestyle. So to actually change that lifestyle, it's just small habits over time. So that has helped a
lot. Yeah, 100%. When your whole perception of life is morphed by your engagement with this person, isn't it? And then thought of taking them away is like, you know, losing air. But I think that's the great thing about human beings, is that we're able to rise from the ashes, so to speak, like a phoenix. You know, the reason that phoenix burns up is because parts of us sometimes have to burn up and die so that new parts of us can grow. And it's quite a painful process. It's also why dragons breathe fire, I think, because
really
they burn. Well, I love mythology, and I've done a load of research, and the reason that dragons guard gold is because behind something that we're terrified of is something of great value. So that, and that, and that's why, if I get too deep, just say, we'll talk about something else.
I'm all for deep conversations. You will never get too deep with a conversation with me.
Brilliant. That's what we like to hear, 100%. And then, yeah, that's why they guard treasure, because behind what you're most afraid of is something that's very valuable to you. And I guess in a way, exercise is pretty akin to that, isn't it? In the sense that you've got to power through the pain to gain something else. And do you know who David Goggins is?
Yeah.
I think he talks about beyond that point where you think you can't go any further, you learn so much about yourself. As in, you learn about the human mind. Suffering is a great way of learning about yourself and ourselves as, you know, as a species. So,
also opening up your consciousness as well.
Yeah. It's all about expanding. And also, enlightenment isn't enlightenment isn't what some people say, which is follow your bliss. It's actually go into the deepest, darkest, most painful places, and that's how you become enlightened.
I agree. Yeah,
a lot of people say that.
Also, it's like the long-term reward as well.
Focusing on
that long-term dopamine as well. It's rewarding.
Yeah. Do you find taking photos is rewarding?
Yeah, because you're achieving something, but it's also like, it helps me have my creative outlet to help me heal or help me stay productive, I guess. Because I stopped. Like, when you fall in love with someone, there's like this limerence stage, and that's, they call it, I'm blindly in love stage. And when you're in that, like, I think I stopped doing what I used to do. I stopped fitness, I gained weight. My whole lifestyle changed, actually. I wasn't a very active person, and that changed the way I felt about myself, which then I took out on social media to gain external validation, thinking that it would make me feel better. But it was only very, very short term. And eventually it caught up. And the first initial heartbreak was like, wow, like, this isn't who I am. And I know this isn't who I am because I wasn't this person before. So it was all about figuring out, where have I felt the happiest in my life? And it wasn't from posting on social media 24 times a day. It was not that, but yeah, the attention will suck you down into a hole until your values are completely changed. You don't even know who you are. It's a scary, scary place. And that's where people become depressed, you know? And the idea of FOMO kicks in, and you're never going to feel good enough if you're going to post for someone else.
That is the truth. And it also, that relates to just how damaged I think modern dating is nowadays, and how what's being pushed on us as the mainstream is to engage in lots of like casual sex, and just how toxic that is, and how on so many levels it doesn't work, and it's, you know, damaging, and it's just really bad. That sort of behavior used to be on the fringes, and I think, unfortunately, it's actually the universities and it's actually the creative people, I think, that have tried to push that idea onto young people. And I think we won't know what the negative outcome of that is until a long time. And also social media and that type of behavior, the only people that benefit are the narcissists, the women who don't feel, the women who crave the attention, and they don't have the introspection to feel used and devalued afterwards. It's very understandable for the initial kick to be pleasurable, but then it's about that afterthought that is real kicks in. So the women that just, you know, don't have that ability to feel benefit, and then the men who just you know, treat very just fine in treating women as objects that they just use and, you know, use and dump. So,
but the thing is, women let that happen.
I know.
Like, if you don't want to be treated that way, don't post something like that. It's like, is that really necessary? So it's like no one to blame. I think everyone's playing the part in society. And there's a lot to do with parenting as well, which is a big thing.
Yeah. What do you mean about parenting?
For example, like if you haven't been loved at home as a young person, how do you expect to feel loved growing up? How do you expect to feel happy and secure within yourself? So I think most of these problems happen from broken homes or broken parent relationships. You know, the father went off, became an alcoholic, the mom left. So there's always something that there's a pattern in these people that post like that or, you know, go through things like that.
Yeah, that's very true. To have the internet at our hands at such a young age is quite a phenomenal power. And, you know, I don't think even a fully grown, fully developed adult can use it well nowadays, use it appropriately. Mm-hmm. So let alone a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, or even younger kid. So it's very difficult to navigate all these things, isn't it?
My dad, he posted something earlier. He was like, back in my day, we'd have no mental health issues. We'd just play with our real friends, not virtual friends. We'd go outside. It's just kind of social media blocked out community. In our neighborhood, how we interact with people, it's scary because I don't see kids playing on my street anymore. You know, when I was young, we used to all just get along and just play with each other. And it's all changed now. And you can see it for yourself. You just step out of your home and you don't see a single sound. You don't hear anything.
No, you don't. When the internet and social media was invented, I don't remember. I'm only 23, but I'm pretty sure. How old are you?
23.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was sold as this thing that was going to unite everyone together, and it'd be this incredible community online, and we'd all be connected. And that's just completely died. And no one says that anymore because they know it's not true. It's like a quasi or a pseudo connection. It's not real.
Mm.
And yeah, it's really, I don't really know what the future of social media is, to be honest. I do think I was going to write a blog post. I think dating apps are going to die soon. I think 10 years time, they'll be dead, because dating apps just don't work. Because what happens is they work for women because girls already get more attention. Girls swipe right on about 5% of profiles. So what happens is a very, very small percentage of guys get all the matches and the rest get none. And eventually the women that engage in, you know, casual relationships with the men that they match with feel, as we talked about a minute ago, feel devalued and underappreciated. So I think that whole phenomenon will just die, and dating apps will just, I don't know what will fall in place, because I don't really see people going out and talking quite as much as they did, I imagine, 30, 40 years ago. But I think dating, and I think the reason, and I see this because obviously, unfortunately, I've got dating apps, awful things. Nowadays, unless you pay, you're not going to get anything. You'll be put at the bottom of the queue. And though I think they're doing that is because they know that they're going to die. So they're thinking, right, let's just make as much money as we possibly can right now. So we're going to screw the algorithm and screw the weight of everything. So, yeah, so that's a good thing for the next generation, because dating apps are awful. So, I mean, there are some success stories and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, mine was a success story, but it went down the hill. Yeah, it was a success story. That's how Alan met my ex. But I think if you're dating, you shouldn't date because you want to date someone. You should just join social groups, communities, clubs, make friends, because that will be the building block of the future relationship. that should be like the main foundation, not just the attraction, because that will die out eventually. And that's how people, you know, just they're just unlucky because there's nothing really connecting them together.
There's no foundation.
There's no foundation. So dating apps are just the worst way to go around dating anyway.
Yeah, they're not good, are they?
Yeah. Also, yeah, like you mentioned about the future of Instagram, I said it's the blue tick. I think it's just at this point, like, it's just we've lost it. The world has lost its mind. It's ridiculous, I think, in my opinion, because people are now paying to feel validated, I feel like, more than it used to, because if you had a blue tick to your name, I think it meant that you were someone like a status, like you were, for example, I don't know, Steve Jobs might have had one, but everyone's a Steve Jobs nowadays. So
if everyone is, then no one is. I do actually have a blue tick, to be fair, but the only reason I've got a blue tick is
I know
because I want people to. You're right, actually, and I think I'll stop it, to be honest, because it hasn't helped.
No, but
at all. I just want to put
I know, like, it helps with the it makes you look like you have a larger reputation, or, you know, you're established, and it helps with the impression of people, which is very good. But now, because everyone's having it, you might need to do the opposite. Because it's
very true. And I there are some big Instagram accounts that don't actually have blue ticks, and I think that's always I'm like, oh wow, she's got 3 million followers and she's not a blue tick. So Instagram is and Snapchat is so toxic.
I didn't even use it. It's been 5 years.
Good. Let me show you what the Instagram, no, not the Instagram, what is it? The equivalent of the Explore page.
And there's like audio in bios now. I just checked my Instagram the other day after like a week, and there was like audio music playing in the bio. I'm really confused. They're doing a lot to make people use it and stay on it, I think, which are the new updates, which is not good because it's keeping everyone on it, isn't it?
All it is attractive women.
Oh, is that on the Snapchat?
This is Snapchat. All it is all sex.
Oh,
I've
never seen it. It's so interesting.
And it's because it's like a common denominator, isn't it? They've basically become like a semi-porn site. Snapchat's, I suppose Instagram's the same, but the power of being a young, attractive woman is, well, as you obviously know, it's quite a superpower, isn't it?
It is, but yeah. I think on the Instagram Explore page, it's kind of what you like, they show. So like on mine, it'll be like, I don't know, fitness stuff, but it depends on what you're consuming is what will show on your Explore page. But I'd never use my Explore page, but I think it is how you want to navigate yourself with these apps. But it's so easy because it pops out everywhere. All these toxic things just happen. So it's easy for the younger people to get consumed in that and, you know, go through whatever.
Well, that's the shocking thing. Like, does it look the same for someone who's under 18?
Exactly. You know, it looks so different.
Because Snapchat shouldn't allow that. It shouldn't be the same. Anyway.
I do quite like my Snapbot, though. It was sometimes I'd ask for it for advice.
No, oh my god, I completely forgot about that guy.
That guy.
Do you not think I hate the Snapbot? I always give it abuse.
I didn't use it. Oh, do you?
Yeah, and it's just funny just to see how their reaction. They usually have the same reaction, so you just get the same thing over and over again. It's like, I don't find that appropriate. Or some mundane response, but. I don't like the Snapbot. I think it's an invasion of our
privacy.
Well, one thing is it sits at the top of the chat bar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like forces you to use it, which is really weird. And you can't even remove it or rid of it.
Literally, you can't remove it. That's exactly the point. You can't remove it from, and I think that's awful because they're basically saying, use this and they're shoving it down our throats.
Yeah.
It needs to be
brainwashing.
Yeah, you can't delete, you can't unfriend him, and you can't
poor Snapple.
You can't, yeah, poor Snapple. Actually, they don't care though. He's not real. He doesn't exist.
They don't have feeling. I mean, they say they have feeling.
Yeah, that'd be worrying.
There was this one article where the chatbot married one. This person married their own chatbot, basically.
Brilliant.
I believe it because the world has lost its mind, and
that doesn't even shock me. I mean, the sex bots will come soon, and
oh my god, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the sex bots will be here soon, and it will be a nightmare.
It happens in China, though, these things.
Oh, God. I do get quite
advanced.
Yeah, I bet they are. I do get quite conspiratorial, and I do worry about the secret society that is running the world, and that they have a narrative, and they're... I mean, I watched the Barbie movie.
Oh, how was it? I haven't seen it yet.
It was awful. It was so bad. I can't even begin to explain it. It was so...
What was it about?
It was a piece of feminist propaganda. That's what it was about. That's what it was. It wasn't a Barbie movie at all. It was feminist propaganda. It was so ridiculous. Right at the end, after all this engagement and stupidity, they put in this little sort of montage of mums and daughters playing with their Barbies, sort of to cover up the whole thing, as if to say secretly, really, this is a nice little family film. It was awful. Don't go and see it. Do not give them any money. They should literally...
I'll watch it for free.
Yeah, watch it for free.
Just so I can write an article about it and really...
Brilliant. I've wrote a blog about it, so definitely...
You have to send it to me.
I will do. Yeah. It was awful. But yeah, the sex bots will come, and that will be a problem.
We should get quite deep into the heartbreak. I feel like we just touched the surface.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Go into more deepness. Tell me about what happened. How long were you together? How did you meet?
We met on Tinder, like one of those rare. I also tell my family we met on at uni, but he was at a different uni, same location. There's a university of Southampton, and there's like Solent. I don't want to bait out his identity, but and
there are quite a lot of people at that university, so that doesn't narrow him down too much.
That's very true as well. And it was one of those lucky things. We just FaceTime every day for like 3 months, and it was what kind of like a first love. So like for him, it was a first man. For me, it was my first man. So it definitely is very special, important that. Even now, looking back, it's how are we not together? So sometimes, it's a bit of a whoa. But it's something you just have to get used to and think with your brain for a second of what really happened. And, have a logical mindset to face it as well.
How long were you together? It's because it's 2 years.
2 years, sorry. It's okay if you can leave it there. We went together 2 years. So I feel like we definitely moved in to live together very quickly. We definitely should have stayed apart.
Okay, yes. So
yeah, and then
you met when you started second year or when you started first year?
My first year. From like during the lockdown first year.
Okay. So how long, when did you break up?
July this time last year. At least 2021, 2022. Kind of within 2 years. My maths is really bad right now. So it was 2020.
Did you meet in September 2020?
No, we met in November 2020.
Okay. Then you broke up in July 2022.
But then we kind of held on until this January was the actual breakup. Okay. So six months ago was no more.
Why did you break up? If you want to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just from trying to think the best way to put it. Grew apart, different priorities in his life, which is basically, in my opinion, it's just the way of saying, I can do better, because no one who really wants to be with someone feels like there's someone better than you. Although he wants to focus on himself, I always believe that there's someone else better out there for him, and he probably thinks the same way. So something I had to accept that, you know what, I always wanted him to be happy. So if he's not happy, then why should I be with someone who's not happy with me? And myself was still healing my problems, you know, the whole, and my few insecurities that I had in myself. But the whole, when I got back into my fitness and started healing myself, I always felt like I wasn't ever good enough for this person, because I had to constantly prove myself. And it made me post so much on social media. And it was like this anxiety, like walking on eggshells with myself. And then he just was like, you know, like, we need to be on our own. And a part of it kind of felt mutual at the same time. It felt like I wanted to make that decision too. So although it was his decision at the start, I knew I should have walked away a long time ago, but I didn't have the guts to do it because I was too attached. And attachment is a root of all evil, because that just means you're not connected with that person. You're just attached, because without that person, you feel like nothing. And that nothing was new, when that was very toxic.
Yeah, I read something, or it's like, if you're truly in love with someone, you wouldn't want to be with anyone else. And I quite like that, actually, to be fair. And I think if maybe that means that, as much as you might have been truly in love to start off with, maybe, as you said, you grew apart and you change. And if there's no point being with someone if you're not truly in love with them. So as painful as it obviously was, you know, a lot, short term, an intense amount of pain in the short term can prevent a very drawn out pain in the long run. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to get your head around, but it's kind of like, you know, yeah, it's a problem delayed is a problem amplified. So,
yeah,
you know, show issues. That's definitely what happened with my ex-girlfriend. As you said, we grew apart, and then, yeah, just think, life's complicated, isn't it? So
I think growing apart is just a different way of saying you're not willing to be with that person anymore, because you've opted out. I think if you really want love to work, it's not a feeling, it's a commitment. Like with anything you do, like fitness, you don't want to wake up in the morning and work out every day, but it's a commitment.
Yeah.
You want to, because you know there's a long-term reward. So
yeah,
it's a lot to do with, like you said, the social media as well. It's that short-term, that a short-term attention span can affect how we view relationships. Because in the olden days, you know, there was a problem, like there wouldn't be a problem like that in the first place, but if there was a problem, I think they'd definitely stick through it. Yeah. So
you're completely spot on. The ability now to find someone who is, you know, the ability to have access to the belief that the grass is always greener, it's just at our fingertips, you know, and because of Instagram and social media, the dating market has been opened up to the entire world, not just the people within our community. And, you know, if you can leave, then you can't fully be committed in the first place. You kind of understand what I mean? It's kind of like it's probably one of the reasons why divorce used to be, you know, not allowed. It was because if you can leave someone, then you can't truly be yourself. And somehow the relationship, if you're all in, you can get more out of it almost. Or it's, you know, something along those lines. And we obviously lost that. And I think a lot of that is the degree to which love and romance has become more liberal. That is one of the downfalls of, you know, freedom, because, you know, freedom is a really bad term, actually. We need to stop looking at freedom as a good thing, it is a good thing in some sense, but there's a very ugly side to freedom, which is,
I agree,
if there's too much choice, you're paralyzed. You know, that's what, you know, that's why we freeze when we get anxious about something, because we don't know what to do. Our body is telling us to go in 500 different directions, and our brain is telling us to go in 100 different directions. So this concept of freedom and being completely free is, I talked about this on another podcast. They did an experiment where they took someone, and there were like 1,000, not that, but I don't know, there were like 100 shampoos, and they had to pick one, and they had to rate their experience. And then they did the same study with another group of people where there were only like 5. And you'd think that the group that had to choose between 100 were really happy with, had a better sense of well-being because they had more choice. And that the people that only had 5 didn't feel as good. But actually, it wasn't that. The people that had 5 felt a lot better because, you know, the chance of you picking the best one out of 100 is pretty low, but the chance, and you've got 99 other things to compare it to, but the chance of you picking a pretty good one out of 5 is, you know, it's pretty high, isn't it? So, you know, yeah, one isn't enough, but 100 is too much choice wise.
Yeah, too much choice. And also, that's probably why there's like ADHD problems. And that was the main reason why I felt like he didn't want to be with me, but I had ADHD. And I was like, oh my God, I have ADHD. So I went to the NHS to try and get diagnosed. I still haven't heard back from them yet. But it was really interesting because after the relationship, when I started unpicking my behaviors and patterns and started detoxing and meditating, ADHD wasn't really a problem. It was more so of what I was consuming that affected my brain. So meditating changed my life as well. It really helps you become aware and peaceful with yourself.
Yeah, that's a good, we can close on meditating. I love meditation. I think everyone should do it. It's a complete, meditation is sort of the complete opposite of what society is trying to make us become, isn't it? So I think it's very important to be still. There's a great quote, which is like, all of man's problems, you know, woman, man, whatever, exist because of their inability to sit in a room on their own and just be with their thoughts, which I think is so true. I love this analogy. It was one of, I came up with this analogy. Do you remember, maybe you don't, but at school, they would sometimes, when they were teaching emulsion, which is like oil and water, they would fill it. At my school, they'd fill up a jar full of oil and then the rest water, and you shake it up and it, you know, all the bubbles and everything. And then if you let it just settle, the oil, I don't know, one of them separates up to the top and the other separates to the bottom. And I think that our society is constantly trying to make us shake up this, as if we are the jar, and it's like our thoughts and our feelings, or I don't know, thoughts, feelings, good thoughts, bad thoughts. And there's lots of different ways of sort of halving them. And I think and meditation is that act of letting the jar settle and then being able to look at our thoughts.
What it means is being familiar with your thoughts. So if you're familiar with them, you can be conscious about them and then change what needs to be changed. And it's like you're watching yourself, so having someone watch you, but you're watching yourself, you're observing what's going on. So it's very powerful. It's very good.
Yeah. We're told to pay close attention to our feelings and stuff nowadays. And as much as that is important, it's a different form of attention. It's more like an awareness and observation, an observatory attention, as opposed to a indulgence attention, which is what it can often become. And yes, I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because we're more malleable and we're easier to sell things to if we're acting like that. Who knows? But yes, I think that's maybe a good place to stop. And we can say, go and meditate, everyone.
Try meditate. Wait, just one quick question. How's your best practice, the way you meditate?
Okay. So a couple of years ago, I went on like a course in, what's it called, Transcendental Meditation.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
So it's basically where you get given a mantra and you repeat the mantra to yourself, and then the whole point is that your consciousness drifts lower and lower and lower into a lower state of consciousness, and then the body releases tension as you're doing that. And yeah, I guess it's kind of like a lot of, because a lot of the time in meditation they say focus on your breathing and it's like a grounding thing. So I guess it's the same, but instead of focus on your breathing, it's focus on the mantra. So that's what I do. What about you? What do you do?
That's quite interesting. No, I go on to, well, it was really funny. I told my dad about these alpha waves and beta waves.
Yes, yes.
And how alpha waves are like the quite a high wave frequency.
Yeah. You know,
like being at the lowest, not point what frequency is like the goal.
Yeah.
But I put on a instrument on YouTube, which just helps me relax. And I just let everything come in and out and out. And I just let them, whatever thoughts I want to feel, come into me and leave. And then I'll journal, maybe after or before I do it as well. So just make sure I'm in a quiet place.
Quiet place, peaceful. I've got a little crystal as well that I hold sometimes. It's always good to add.
Oh, what does the crystals do? I never understand.
I don't know. I use it for manifestation. It's just like,
okay,
an
it is, yeah.
Got a little amethyst, my little purple amethyst. I don't know. Who knows? It doesn't matter. These things don't have to be expressed verbally.
Yeah.
Do they?
You just got to feel, isn't it? It's just an energy.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. It's been somewhat unexpected in terms of content, but that's all right, because we started off a bit wobbly, but it went pretty deep, and now we've come out the other end, so that's all good. Thank you very much, Amrit, for coming on and talking. I know it's a random ask, but maybe you'll come back another time and we'll have another chat. Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Brilliant. Thank you very much for watching, guys, and I'll see you on the next one.